You all saw I had this jacket on. We'll take it off. Brother Hilly used to do. He'd say, well, you all saw that I had that jacket on, and I'm going to take it off now. So, Romans chapter 16. We'd like to read verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. I'd like for you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now that is possible to do that. That's possible for the church to be in that condition. To think the same thing, do the same thing. That's possible, or he wouldn't put it here. In all these scriptures I'm reading, 1 Corinthians 3:3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now that was existing in a New Testament Baptist church, just like our churches today. 1 Corinthians 11:18. 1 Corinthians 11:18. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. We want to preach tonight on the subject, the silent killer. The silent killer. The word division. First of all, the word mark means to take note. And we need to take note tonight of what we've already heard and what we're going to hear in this message tonight. The devil is out to destroy the peace of all of our churches. He's out to destroy the peace of our churches, and he's doing it through division and discord. The word division means part. And he is parting our churches. It also means section. He wants to split our churches. It also means to detach. He does not want you to be in fellowship one with another. He's out to disunion. This church. He's out to disunion all of our churches here tonight. And I believe that this is a message tonight that we all need. I preach this in my own church. He is out to divorce us. He wants to divorce all of us from one another. He does not want us to be a loving church. He does not want us to work together for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, so He's out to divorce it. Cause fractions. It also means to split up. The devil had his way. He had split this church right down the middle. He's out to split every single one of our churches right down the middle. And I'm going to tell you how he's doing it here in a few minutes. It also means cause conflict. Why are Baptists noted for their conflicts? Why are they noted for fussing and fighting and feuding? It all begins with division and discord. It also means difference. It seems as though we have so many differences in our churches. It means disharmony. He does not want to see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in harmony. He doesn't want to see us getting along. He wants to see us in disharmony. Means dissension. It also means schism. Schisms. It also means to rupture. And that would go along there with schism. He wants to see the church ruptured. He wants to see the church torn to pieces. It also means, discord means, or division means tear or to rip. To tear or to rip. And He is tearing and ripping our churches up right in front of our eyes. Huh? Means to have a difference of opinion. A difference of opinion. And so this one's got their opinion, that one's got his opinion, that one's got her opinion, this one's got her opinion, this one's got that, his opinion. And we have that all through the church. And it's tearing our churches up. And it's a silent killer. And it is killing our churches. Isn't that right? And every one of us are taking part. Look, let's look here in the book of Proverbs in chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, and we'd like to look at verse 14. 6:14. Forwardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. He soweth discord. Now look at verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. The Lord hates discord. And so the devil is out to destroy the peace and the unity and the harmony of our churches. I believe that strife and divisions are marks of carnality. Some would rather follow men than the Lord Jesus Christ and His man. Many members would rather listen to brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so instead of listening to God's man and listening to the Lord. And I believe with all of my heart that division and discord and strife is from Satan. Look in the book of James. The book of James, chapter 3. James chapter 3. And let's notice verse 14. But if you have bitterness and envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And so there are divisions in our churches today because of the disagreements. Because of the disagreements. We have divisions in our churches today because we want our way. We're more loyal to our opinions than our concern for the Lord and His church and having unity in it. We don't want to submit to the Lord. We don't want to submit to God's man. We don't want to submit to our parents. Isn't that right? That's a problem. It's a big problem. Bigger than what we realize. And we need to agree on everything. We need to have the same opinions. We need to have the same attitude. We need to have the same outlook. We need to have the same understanding. The Word of God teaches that all the way through the New Testament. Book of Corinthians, Book of Philippians is full of it. Be of the same heart. Be of the same mind. And it's possible for us to have the same opinions and have the same attitude and have the same outlook and understanding. And one of the most fearful things in the church is division. Because it's one of the first and surest signs of spiritual sickness and backsliding. Isn't that right? Now, my people didn't take this very, very good either. Divisions and discord are not just disruptive, they are destructive. Divisions and discord will tear the church up. It'll disrupt it. But it'll also destroy it. I've seen churches today destroyed completely. And it all started with divisions and discord in it. And they must be stopped. They must be stopped. And the Lord said, mark them. Identify them. Avoid them. Watch them. Keep your eyes on them. And we need to conquer Satan, and we need to conquer him tonight. And not let him conquer our churches. And if we can't attain unity of opinion, let's at least cultivate unity of spirit. When you see a majority of the church vote 98% for something, be careful about voting against the majority of the church. All right? But you know what? That doesn't always happen. Doesn't always happen. All those opposed? They won't go just... And they'll leave it there for about... Okay, you can put it now. We see that hand. Isn't that right? Let me say this. I may get in trouble too, Brother Titus. That won't be the first time. When you leave those doors, you have conducted your business. The business has been taken care of. You had your vote. You voted for it, or you voted against it. And you had your right to do that. You had your right to do that. You could vote for it, or you could vote against it. And the pastor acknowledges your vote. He acknowledges it, and when you leave those front doors, the business is to stay here. It's not to go any further. And that's where all the division and all the discord starts. Huh? Get home? Well, what did you think about what the pastor recommended? I know the church voted for it, and I suppose I probably should have too. But I thought he was wrong. Huh? Sound familiar? But we don't have the phone to contend with, I mean, as much anymore. We got to get on the computer. Huh? Well, let me see. I get my address book. Who can I send this to? All right, got it all sent out. Everybody in the church is going to know why I opposed that. Isn't that great? Wicked. And that's what's causing our divisions and discord in our churches. You all relating to this? Huh? Don't we do that? Or we'll get one of the brothers out in the hallway or out in the annex or get them somewhere out in the parking lot or something. And say, boy, I didn't agree with that. I guess that's part of this, Jobby. Isn't that what we do? Well, I didn't agree with him. What'd you think about it? What'd you think about it? Doesn't matter what they thought about it. You had your vote. You had your vote. You had your right. And you fulfilled your right. And when you go any further with it, you're causing discord and division in the church. And it ought not to be. Boy, I tell you what, it's beautiful. It's wonderful to have unity in the church. And there's nothing worse than to have divisions and discord in the church. But oh, what a blessing it is when we're all thinking the same thing, doing the same thing, voting the same way, and it can be possible that every time that you vote, you can have 100% in unity. But the reason we don't is we want to have our way and we want to have our say-so. We're very selfish. And that's what it all amounts to. I'm going to show him I'm going to oppose that. Isn't that right? And I'm not just trying to be funny tonight and mean and hateful and everything. I'm not. But this, I believe this has needed preaching and for a long time. And I couldn't get away from it. I had to preach this tonight. And so why can't you now say, for the sake of unity, if that's what 98% of the church wants to do, for unity's sake, I'm going to go along with that. Why can't we do that? You had your say-so. Okay. Brother Titus, for the sake of unity, I want to go along with that also. I don't want to be in opposition to this church in any way. And you had your right. You voted. You said what you wanted to say in your vote. Or why can't you come forward and say, Brother Titus, last night they voted. And I may have been the only one that opposed that. But I want you to know that I'm for that. If the church, that's what the church wants to do, that's what I want to do too. Huh? Isn't that much better? Huh? Than just for to have the satisfaction of saying, I was against that. So for the sake of unity, we need to think about that. Not only that, but if you don't have a scriptural reason why you oppose that, you better watch out too.
Amen. That's right.
If you don't have a scriptural reason, you better have a scriptural reason when you do oppose anything. Maybe I'll tell you what, this message, I'll guarantee you, will make better churches out of our churches if we'll take heed to it. I really believe that. So does your opposition mean that much to you to oppose 97% of the church? Lord help us. That we'll see the importance of what the Lord has to say concerning His churches. That we need to be in unity. We don't need to have division. We don't need to have discord in our midst. Man, I love it when my church is in unity. I love it when I recommend to the church, you know, things to do, and boy, there are motion made, second, everybody votes. Anybody opposed to that? None. You know? That's a blessing. And there's no reason why that can't be so. This church had confidence in Brother Titus to call him his pastor. You ought to have confidence in him and anything that he recommends to this church. Pastor says that's what we ought to do. You say, Brother Jones, that's pastoral authority. No, that's not so. Is all you're doing is following the leadership of your pastor. You're just following the leadership of your pastor. That's all you're doing. You're honoring your pastor. Because you've already had your vote, you know. That's honoring him as your pastor. A lot of people see that different. I don't agree with that. If I don't agree with it, I'm just going to vote against it. What's your scriptural reason? We better be sure of that. And touch not mine anointed to do my prophets no harm. The Lord sent your pastor to you for a reason. And that was to lead and to guide and direct you. And when you called him, that's the reason that you called him. That he might preach the word of God, that he might teach the truth to you, and that you might follow his leadership. If you didn't intend to follow his leadership, why did you call him? Follow his leadership. And division and discord leads us many times to often unjustly judge one another. And all this judging, and I'm going to give you a little bit different slant on it, what we heard this afternoon. But we're not to condemn or label people by what we see on the outside. We're not qualified to judge anybody. The church, yes. Now, look at Romans 14:4, eh? And you take it for what it's worth, and if I'm not right, well, you correct me. But in Romans 14:4, Romans 14:4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. The people we judge don't belong to us. They belong to the Lord. Is that what that verse is saying? And a servant stands or falls to his own master. You shouldn't judge me because I don't answer to you. I answer to my master. I answer to the Lord. And we need to remember when we disagree with someone, God is able to make him stand. We don't need to criticize or straighten out our brother. That's the Lord's job. He's in the business of making people stand. And He alone is qualified to straighten out people. But we want to do it. And in doing so, we're splitting the church, we're causing disharmony, there's disunion, unity, all kinds of things develop from that. Look at Romans 14, verse 10. Romans 14 and verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So the Lord is going to judge. He's going to judge our actions. He's going to judge our attitudes. And he's going to judge our motives. So we better be careful. What do you think about Sister So-and-so? What do you think about Brother So-and-so? And before long, we get talking. We got this click over here. We got this click back here. We got this click over here. We got this click over here. Huh? The Lord is going to judge our actions, He's going to judge our attitudes, and He's going to judge our motives. We don't like to hear this, do we? I know we don't. So if we're quick to criticize and pass judgment on others, we can be sure that there will be those who will criticize and judge us. Isn't that right? And if we're gracious and forgiving and tolerant, we can expect the same thing. Huh? Why do we have to fuss and fight and feud with one another? Why do we have to start sowing division and discord and everything else? Why do we have to do that? And knowing all the time that we're going to have to stand before Him. With everything that we say, everything that we do, our actions, our attitudes, our motives. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Susie.
But you and I are the only one that knows it. Huh? Don't tell anybody. This is just between me and you. Huh? And then she gets home. She gets on the phone. And she calls another sister. Now there's just one other person that knows about this. You know? So if it's told, I'll know where it came from. Huh? And before long, you had two, it was just between two or three. And then this first one called another one, and this other one called another one. Now there's about five or six all involved in this thing now. Huh? Isn't that the way it works? And the devil is out to cause division in the church. And that's the way he does it. And men are just bad. You know? They get out bird hunting. I had to say bird hunting, didn't say deer hunting. Everybody, all the men go deer hunting here, so I had to change that a little bit. You know? That's right. Same thing. And before long, we got clicks here, clicks here, clicks here. That's what they call them, and none of them are clicking. If you're going to click, click. That's what we need. We need some that are clicking for the Lord. That's what we need. Why do we want to cause division and discord? You all answer that. And there is so much, and I can give you so many more scriptures concerning this. But why do we have to do that? As God's children. After everything that the Lord has done to us and done for us, He saved us by the grace of God. He allowed us to have scriptural baptism. He put us in His church, and He was pleased to do it. And then we've got to act that way. Why? May the Lord get a hold of all of our hearts tonight. And if you're guilty, you be the first one to run down that aisle. Our churches are not going to be able to function like they ought to function when there's division and discord in it. And you know your own heart. You know how you are. You know where you're at spiritually. And you know whether you're guilty or not. Now, look at Luke 6:35. And that's the last scripture I'm going to use. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, running over, shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal shall be measured unto you again. Boy, I've heard that scripture quoted so many times. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down. Give your tithes and offerings, and boy, it'll start flowing in. And I mean, it'll just keep on getting fuller. You just shake the basket and the wheat and the sack, and it just gets fuller and fuller. And you know, you just shake it, and you know, it just keeps on coming in. That's true. But with the same measure you meet with all, shall be measured unto you again. He's not only talking about money.
He's talking about our love. He's talking about our forgiveness. He's talking about the division. He's talking about the discord. And with the same measure you meet with all shall be measured unto you again. It's going to come right back to us. Go ahead and do it if you want to. Man, I'll tell you what, I'd hate to be guilty of starting the discord and starting the division in one of the Lord's churches. Heading that up. And usually they have one that's going to head it up. And you mark him. And you mark her. And you keep your eye on her. And you keep your eye on him. And don't take it off. And when that person comes and talks to you about your pastor, I want you to do this. Say, okay, Betty. Let's go to Brother Titus. You know, if they come and talk about your pastor, say, wait a minute. Let's go to Brother Titus and you tell this in front of Brother Titus. Huh? Wait a minute, Bill. Let's go get Bob and we say that in front of Bob. You tell me what you just told me. Huh? You think that'll work? Brother Jones, you're crazy. I ain't going to do that. Why not? Too selfish. You just think about yourself. We better start thinking more about the Lord and more about our brothers and sisters and see how closer we can get to one another and see how much more we can love one another instead of trying to tear one another apart in our churches. And seeing how close we can get to the Lord and see how much closer to harmony and unity in our church that we can get instead of seeing how far away we can get. Y'all agree with that? Amen. Amen. Appreciate those amens and those ladies shaking your hand and wave your hanky. I appreciate that. Because we're all guilty, aren't we? Huh? Every single one of us. May the Lord grip a hold of our hearts tonight and show us how much more we need to love our Lord and how much more we need to love our church and how much more we need to love our pastor and pastor's wife and pastor's children. A lot of times they got to take a lot of the abuse. So the next time one of our brothers or sisters does something we don't like, let's think before we condemn. Pray for them. Show them the same grace. Show them the same love that the Lord Jesus Christ shows each one of us when we sin. The key is restoration, not condemnation. How much of our condemning and judging and complaining ever helped our brother or sister that has fallen? Think about that. I have one scripture. One more. That was hid down here in the corner. In the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Brethren, in verse 1, 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. And you've got aught against your brother, you've got aught against your sister, you've got aught against your pastor, you've got aught against your church, you're causing discord, you're causing divisions. You're not going to be able to help that fallen brother. That's why it's very important that our hearts and our lives be spiritual. That we be as close to the Lord as we possibly can at all times. That we might be able to help that brother or that sister that has fallen. Are you in the shape right now to be able to help that fallen brother? That fallen sister?
brother come forward tonight and say, I've been out drinking, I've been out drunk and everything else, and I want this church to forgive me. Are you able to restore that brother? Serious business. And if we're not in the spiritual condition we ought to be in, we're not going to be able to help that brother. And you don't know when that brother or that sister is going to come call upon you and say, I want you to come pray with me. I want you to come read some scriptures to me. I want you to come pray with me. You know what's going to happen? You're going to hang your head and you're going to be the sorriest person walking, because you're not able to help that brother. Because when you do so, you're doing nothing but being a hypocrite. And you're not able to help that brother. You're not able to help that sister. But by the grace of God tonight, get your heart right with the Lord. Be in a condition to where that you can help that brother or that sister and be a blessing to your church, instead of causing disunity and causing divisions and discord in your church. It isn't enough just to point out where a brother is wrong. We must be willing and be prepared to show that we must be willing to help him, willing to help her. Show them from God's Word how to start doing right. The silent killer. Division. Discord. I don't know how the Lord spoke to you. He spoke to me. You're here tonight lost without Christ. The greatest need that you have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Greatest need you have is to hear the gospel. How that Christ died, how that he was buried, and how that he rose again the third day for you. You know, I heard that all my life. I went to Sunday school, I went to church. I heard that all my life right up till I was 24 years old. I was 24 years old, I heard it. I heard it. I heard it, and I heard it, and I heard it, and I heard it. And I heard it, and praise the Lord, one day I heard it. I mean, it was strong conviction. I mean, for the first time in my life, I believed with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me. He was buried, and he arose again the third day for my justification. I believe that with all my heart, and that's what I'm depending on to get to heaven today. But there's many that have walked the aisle just because Susie walked it, just because Billy walked it, and the others walked it, and everybody went forward that night, and I was a little emotional. Upset, and I did the same thing, but I really deep down in my heart, I really don't really believe that. Can you believe it now? Can you come repenting of your sins and trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior? You're here tonight, you're so far backslidden away from the Lord, and you know you need to make things right in your own heart and in your own life. Listen, my dear backslidden friend, there's nothing ahead for you but a hard old road. There's nothing out there for a child of God. And you're going to get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into sin, to where you're going to destroy your whole life. You've had a mother and a dad that's brought you up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. When you're fighting it and fighting it and fighting it because you want your way. Let me tell you something. Your mother went through death having you. Now you get up to where you think you're 18, 19, 20 years old, and I'm going to run my own life. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Let me tell you, as long as you're living, you ought to do exactly what your dad tells you to do, and you ought to do exactly what your mother tells you to do. You ought to never disrespect your mother and your dad. And just for the sake of having your own way, and having your good time, and forsaking them, and forsaking the Lord, and forsaking the house of God. It's not worth it. It's not worth it, my friend. And there's nothing but disaster out there for you. Nothing but disaster. You live your life up to 16, 17, 18 years, 19 years, 20 years old, and all of a sudden you can blow it in one night. You can blow it in 1 hour and spend the rest of your life in prison because you went out and got drunk or had some alcohol on your breath or took one too many pills or whatever, and you killed somebody. Oh, it won't happen to me. Let me tell you something. Out here on 4000 Cooper Street in Jackson, Michigan, that place is full of guys that did the very same thing. Brought up in church all their life, and all of a sudden they want to be just a little bit old disobedient, want to have their way, and want to do their own thing. And they're out there sitting out there on 4000 Cooper Street because they got drunk and ran over somebody and killed somebody one night. A lot of boys that brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord out there right now doing the very same, doing time the rest of their life. But you want to divide your home. You want to sow discord in your home. You want to cause division in your home. The Lord's spoken to you tonight. If He has, we urge you to come, Brother Tyler.